Packers fans, welcome into PackersNews.com. I'm Cassidy Hill. We will be joined by a few of our other co-hosts, Ryan Wood and Pete Doherty, as we get ready to kick off Green Bay Packers training camp. It will start Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. And it's going to be an interesting season. Aaron Rodgers is back in town, of course. This will be the first time he's been back on the field with a lot of these guys since the three-day mandatory minicamp at the beginning of June. He will be without a lot of his pass catchers, though. I think total 14 players are on the PUP, physically unable to perform, and non-football injury list. It's going to be a little bit of an interesting first couple of practices. Fans are invited to come to the first, to most all of the practices. The first three will be open to the public Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday of this week, all at 10:30 a.m. And back again after taking a break due to COVID will be the bike ride. If you would like to have a Packers player ride your bike to practice, then show on up outside of Lambeau Field ahead of the 10:30 practice and see who you can entice over to ride it over to the practice field. Now, as I said, we have a lot of players that are on an injury list, and Pete Doherty is going to join us to kind of break down some of those biggest ones and which are the ones that are going to make the biggest impact in training camp. Pete, thank you so much for joining us. Are you ready to get back into the swing of things?
I am. It's kind of like the first day of school tomorrow after a summer break.
I know. So you got all your pencils lined up tonight, your lunch packed, everything ready?
Yeah, and rulers and all, you know, all the pen holders and all that stuff. We're ready to be geeks starting tomorrow.
Exactly. People probably think you're joking, but I think we actually do have a lot of that stuff in our office.
I do.
Lots of charts getting made. It's going to be exciting to be back out there. Of course, the Packers will be without, at last count, 14 players who are either on PUP or NFI list. Some of them were expected. Robert Tonyan, Elgton Jenkins, Christian Watson stood out a little bit. That'll be interesting to see exactly what that injury is. But Pete, the name that, of course, jumps out the most is tackle David Bakhtiari. Let's just recap. He tore his ACL on December 31st, 2020. The Packers have since played 20 football games in which he played 27 snaps. Is there reason for concern?
Yeah, huge reason. You know, there's obviously a lot going on with his knee, and he keeps having setbacks. And they just paid him that huge contract like three or four weeks before he got hurt. And they've paid him a ton of money, so there's a huge investment there. And he's such an important player, you know, a top-tier left tackle allows you to do so much more on offense as far as – because you don't have to help him very often. Mm-hmm. So you can help other guys, and you just – it gives you more flexibility with your offensive line. And we just don't know how this is going to be. You know, guys being on PUP – A lot of times it doesn't mean anything. They might miss 2 days of practice. They might miss a week. They might miss 2 weeks, but they come back and they're fine. All it means is they didn't pass their physical because of an injury, a pre-existing injury that they had at least at the last mini camp. So sometimes it's nothing, but sometimes the guy doesn't come back. You know, for instance, if Bakhtiari stays on PUP when this regular season starts, he's basically going to miss at least half the season. This is just a huge red flag. Mm-hmm. Maybe he'll be fine. Maybe in a few weeks, he'll be practicing. And week one, he's out there and he's back to his usual self, you know, early in the season and everything's great. But this is a huge red flag. And I got to believe the Packers are really concerned about what's going on with his knee.
And we're not exactly sure if this is relative to Bakhtiari's case, but just important to point out, you could not start the PUP. You cannot start the season on the PUP if you were not on it during camp.
Correct.
So this is a little bit of hedging your bets. And also, if you're on the PUP and do not pass your physical, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not sure if I'm understanding this. If you're on the PUP and aren't cleared, you do not have to be paid. Whereas if you were not and then you weren't cleared, you would still be paid.
So if he stays on PUP, he will still be paid.
Okay. Never mind then. That was a test and you passed.
they get paid either way as far as that goes.
Okay. So when you look at this offensive line, and obviously not sure when Bakhtiari will be back. Elgton Jenkins is also still recovering from his injury as well. How much of these first few days of training camp do we see maybe just sort of musical chairs along this line? And at what point in training camp do you feel like that unit needs to be set for their chemistry to develop, for it to develop with Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur to head into this season comfortable with where they're at?
Yeah, if Bakhtiari is not going to be back, or if he's going to miss half the season, then they need to start working on that stuff, you know, day one. Mm-hmm. And they may not know whether he's going to be back or not. They might be, you know, these are often gray area issues, and you know, the doctors, it's obviously it's a science, but it's also an art, you know, figuring this stuff out. And so they may not know how long he's going to be out either. So it's, we'll have to watch closely starting tomorrow where they're playing guys, who's playing where. And Jenkins coming back from an ACL complicates this, because if he were healthy, I think he'd be the guy they'd put out there, although maybe mm-hmm. they'd play him at right tackle and they'd use Nyman at left tackle. I thought Nyman did okay playing left tackle last season.
Yeah, it will be interesting to watch for sure, to even see who gets how many snaps at a certain position. You know, are they just testing them or starting to get guys trained in a certain spot? Pete, you will be out there. I'll be out there. Ryan will be out there. Tom Silverstein. I think we'll all be out there. We'll all be back together for the first time in a while. Looking forward to it with full coverage as Packers start their training camp tomorrow. Pete, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you to Pete for joining us. And now we have Ryan Wood. Ryan, thanks so much for coming back. I feel like we haven't seen you in a while.
It's been a minute. Yeah.
You haven't seen any of us for a while.
It's been a minute, but it's that time of year, less than 24 hours away now.
Right. Players arrived back today, some in fashion, some in Nick Cage attire.
Hey, some... that's fashion. That was Aaron Rodgers fashion right there. Nothing unfashionable about a nice little, you know, white beauty. That's good.
He actually nailed the Nick Cage look. I got to give it to him. He nailed it.
It's about as phenomenal as I've ever seen anybody play. Austin, that was terrific.
It may have even been better than his John Wick look.
I thought it was. No, I definitively, to me, my vote, I thought this one was better than John Wick.
We'll have to ask his opinion tomorrow. When we do get to finally see all of these guys back in one place again, as mentioned with Pete, first time that Aaron Rodgers will be back with some of these guys since that mandatory mini camp. Ryan, I know it's only the first day, or tomorrow will only be the first day, but just sort of off the bat, what do you like to see out of that first day, out of these guys, especially out of these rookies, to see if they've made any sort of jump over the last 5 weeks?
It's a continuation of mini camp and OTAs. The first day of camp really isn't until they strap the pads. Once they strap them up, they're hitting. It's physical. Football's a game of physicality. That hits another level. This is a continuation of OTAs and mini camp. So what do we look for in OTAs and mini camp? We're charting reps. We're charting personnel. We're looking at who's lining up at slot receiver. Who's lining up at left tackle? And typically, who's lining up at left tackle with Aaron Rodgers? Because it's very interesting that Josh Nyman was the left tackle all offseason until minicamp, when Aaron Rodgers arrives and all of a sudden he slides the right tackle, which where if you have David Bakhtiari, that's the open spot on the offensive line. But with David Bakhtiari and PUP, do they put Josh Nyman at left tackle full time? Are they getting him ready for the season to play left tackle without David Bakhtiari? Or is it still a right tackle thing? So it'll be very interesting day one. Even before the pads, who's lining up where, and what kind of, they'll tip their hand a little bit on what they're thinking in certain things going into the season.
We obviously talked a lot about David Bakhtiari, but Sammy Watkins placed on the non-football injury list today. Not sure exactly what the extent of that is. And then Christian Watson is on the PUP, of course, Robert Tonyan as well. All in all, there are five pass catchers that, from what we can understand, will not be available for Aaron Rodgers tomorrow. How long can they keep that up before if you're going to have to get in there and sort of develop that chemistry? And who do you see possibly stepping up in that absence? Is this still Alan Lazard's wide receiver one spot to lose?
By default, you know, it's been that way all offseason. Someone's got to be number one, and Alan Lazard's by far the best combination of youth, talent, proven production that they have to be that guy. But the two names that you mentioned, Christian Watson, Sammy Watkins. That's a rookie receiver and a new receiver. And Aaron Rodgers said all offseason that you don't have to do anything extra. So long as the receivers are here for training camp, that's enough to get the rookies ready. And as we know, you got to learn that playbook of Matt LaFleur. And then you've also got to learn Aaron Rodgers' offense. But there's one little important detail to getting them ready in training camp. They've got to practice. They've got to participate. And if they're not, your window, which is, you know, the full training camp, Aaron Rodgers, that's a good window. That window shrinks. So, you know, a couple of days, maybe a week, maybe a week, that's okay. But if it extends any longer than that, it becomes an issue the longer they're out.
Mm-hmm. A couple of questions that were put in. Do you see the Packers still possibly trying to sign a veteran guy? We saw Julio Jones go today to the Bucks. Do you panic at any point during training camp, especially now that Watkins and Watson are both on these lists? Or do you wait till the preseason sort of unfolds to think, okay, let's make some last minute moves before the season starts?
Look, any position, Brian Gutekunst thinks that there's a guy that can come in and improve the roster, he's going to sign that guy. I understand Julio Jones is a big name, but he's an older receiver. He's a big name because of the past tense. That doesn't mean that he can't have a renaissance or resurgence, but that's what it would be, because his career has been declining. It's been in decline. He still has the same name he always had, but he's not been the same guy the past couple of years that he's been, obviously, early in his career. So when you hear Julio Jones, you think, oh my goodness, all those fantasy football points, right?
Right.
But
which is really what it's all about.
This is reality. This is Julio Jones 2022 version. It's not Julio Jones 2016 version, the guy that ran roughshod in the NFC Championship game in Atlanta. So look, if Brian Gutekunst thinks that there's a guy who, forget the name, proven production that's got potential to actually make an impact in 2022, if he can sign him, he'll try to sign him. But if not, yeah, you know, he's going to be scouring the waiver wire, every 90-man roster in the league this time of year. There's no question about that.
It seems like on the other side of the ball, on the defense, that side of the ball is set. Their units are fleshed out. Their depth chart is probably – you could probably already go ahead and make that depth chart. And I know you spent a lot of time this summer focusing on how the defense could change with Quay Walker coming in. Do you anticipate him sort of playing right away, or what do you need to see in training camp to feel like he can have – the impact that he should be having on this defense?
It will be easier for Quay Walker to play right away than it will be for Devontae Wyatt, because in the trenches, that's one of the toughest college to NFL transitions that you have is you're not going against college kids anymore. You're going against full grown men in the trenches, and that defensive line is a big jump. Every position's a transition, obviously, but you just don't have that same type of physicality that you have at inside linebacker playing off the ball. We'll see. There's a lot for Quay Walker to pick up with the defense, being the quarterback on the field of that defense. He's got Devondre Campbell next to him, obviously, which will be very helpful. But, you know, you got a lot on your plate in the way that they want to use him, because he's the athletic three-down linebacker that can be a thumper and against the run on early downs and then in coverage. That's a lot to learn for a rookie. So we'll just have to see. But, you know, it didn't take him long to get in the first team inside linebacker group this offseason. I think it was maybe a practice or two that Chris Barnes had that role, and very quickly Quay Walker was lined up next side Devondre Campbell.
I think that could be one of the more fun units to watch sort of evolve over training camp, because as Quay Walker comes on, what do they do with Devondre Campbell? Have more flexibility with him now to play around with what he can do, because he's so athletic. And so now you can just kind of have fun with him, seems like.
Yeah.
Which is the official football term. I'm going to take a couple of comments here before we say goodbye. Mike said, some nice signings so far for special teams this offseason. Appears there is finally emphasis on improving it. I'm going to fold something into this question as well for Mike. Mason Crosby on the PUP list, is that just – do you feel like that's maybe veteran maintenance? Is there something to be concerned about there after last season? At what point do you worry about the kicker position? And special teams did seem to take a huge step forward during this OTAs this past offseason.
Yeah, I know that they have another kicker in camp to give Mason Crosby some competition. I think the reality is if they were going to release Mason Crosby, they would have done it in February before March to get under the cap. Because this was a team that had very tight cap restrictions. And going with a different kicker who's making $4-plus million a year, that's obvious. If you're interested in making a kicker change, that's an obvious way to save the cap. They didn't do it then. I don't see them doing it now. We'll have to see the extent of that injury, but they've kind of already showed their cards there. If they were going to cut him, it'd be to help them get under the cap this offseason.
Yeah, very good point. And then one last question here from Robert. What position are you most excited to see when you get out to training camp tomorrow?
Excited. Let's change the word a little bit. Most curious to see.
Okay. Yeah, it's our game. We can change the rules.
Yeah, where's the most intrigue? I'll go one side of on each side of the ball. Slot receiver. That's going to be a work in progress. I think it's going to be very interesting to see if Rasul Douglas is still getting the slots reps that we saw this offseason. And there's good reason to think that he will, but how much do they rotate? Is it just Rasul Douglas? Do you have Jair Alexander playing inside? Does Eric Stokes get some slot exposure? Because he didn't this offseason. I think that'll be interesting. And then offensive line, period. Especially Josh Nyman. Again, I said this already, but if he's going to be left or right tackle, it kind of tips the hand on how serious this David Bakhtiari situation is. If they're getting ready to play left tackle, that's a different thing. If he's sliding over to right tackle, and then that might be different. So where Josh Nyman lines up and the offensive line as a whole, I'll be very curious to see as well.
I'm going to go for the easy, most obvious one and say wide receiver. What does this core look like without Devontae Adams? This will be the first time we've seen Alan Lazard on the field this offseason. What does that chemistry look like with Aaron Rodgers now that he's probably going to be getting more and more attention? And then Aaron Rodgers made a point this offseason to mention Romeo Doubs and Samari Torrey. So does he put a little bit of extra emphasis on them, give them more balls, especially with Christian Watson on the sideline for now? So we'll be, because that's really the only major unit that has more questions than answers. And so, you know, how quickly do they start answering them? It'll be fun to see. As I said, Ryan will be out there. I'll be out there. Spoon, Pete, we'll all see you out there. Ryan, I'll let you say bye and sign off as we get ready for training camp.
Hey, I'm looking forward to it. Take care, everyone.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you tomorrow with full coverage on PackersNews.com for the first day of Packers training camp.